This is Sean with Voices of St. Joan of Arc, and I'm speaking with Kathy. And Kathy, what is your last name?
Fleming.
Kathy Fleming. And how are you doing today, Kathy?
Well, pretty good. I've been watching the Senate just at the trial just called. They're going to call witnesses, but the vote was 55-45.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and they're arguing about it now.
Well, they're gonna keep arguing about it for years to come, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure they are too.
All right.
Really.
So you were born in 1938, is that right?
Yes.
And what city was that?
Indianapolis.
And where in Indy?
St. Vincent's Hospital.
In St. Vincent's, okay. And where was the house that you grew up in?
Well, the first one I was in was, my father was in the Army, so we moved around. So I lived in lots of places, like Virginia, taught in California. I was never stationary, and I went to Joan of Arc as a child.
Okay.
As just first, second, and part of third grade. Then we moved, my father got transferred to Massanutten Military Academy.
So when you were little and you're first, second, and third grade, how did the church make you feel? What was your impression of the inside structure?
Well, I just thought it was awesome. I just loved that big church. I really did.
And I
think today, I know the bishop asked me one time, he said, when was Joan of Arc doing its best job? And I said, right now.
Right now.
Because they're working with people that normally can't get a private education. And I said, society has changed so much that it was pretty simple and pretty just do your homework and listen. And today it is so different.
So are you saying they're helping out a lot of people that maybe can't afford it, or what's kind of your thought?
Yes, and the people, I think the people, especially the people on the parish council and the Board of Education, really understood what their job was.
Okay.
And that was pretty impressive. It really was. And I remember when Father Schmidlin first called me and asked me to go out this is why I hate to do this, because when you get in your 80s, you forget what you're saying right in the middle of a sentence.
You're all right. So, Father Midland?
You're okay. He kept calling me to say, please come, and I said, no. I said, I don't have the background to be in a place like Joan of Arc. And when I met with the board, I never met better Christians. They were electrifying.
Wow.
And it was so fun to watch them. I mean, the head of the search committee was in charge of the search committee at Eli Lilly. That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And about half of them didn't have children in the school at the time. And yet they valued education so much, they knew they really needed to have a good school.
Right. So what type of involvement did you have? What type of other things did you do with the church or the school?
Well, with the school, there were lots and lots of changes made. And I remember somebody said, well, will the teacher's attitude be when they find out you've been hired? And I said, oh, they'll probably, half of them will quit. And they said, maybe that's what we want. And that kind of startled me. And I knew, I knew they had a lot of trouble there because they always made the news. And it was sad to listen to what had happened to the school. And when I went in there, a girl I had taught in eighth grade was standing at the main door. And I just thought it was so singular, and she was so excited that I was coming, and I thought she was the only one on the staff I really knew well. And so that really made me feel good that the person that knew me well was glad I was coming.
Yeah.
Really? And, you know, I remember they told me they were going to have to cut the music and art program. And I said, oh, I stood up and I said, well, gentlemen, I'm wasting your time. Then I refuse to be principal of a school that has no art and music. And Harold Hayes goes, sit down. And he had me, you know, tell why. And I was saying, you know, music involves every single one of the learning lessons. And I said, children think it's fun. And I want them to think it's fun. But they're going to learn a lot. And I said, if I invited you down to St. Charles next week and said, I want you to spend a half an hour in every classroom. And when we went back to the office and I'd say, what was the hardest class in the building? And they would say music. I never knew kids had to learn so much. And so they said, I guess, guys, if she comes, we're not going to cut that music teacher. And I had a friend who was in charge of music education at IU, and after I went to Joan of Arc and we needed a music teacher, I wrote to her and said, please find me a clone of Ruth Boshkoff, who is our classroom music teacher in Bloomington. And she, I tell you, the music teacher had taught, or she had been in Carmen at the Metropolitan Opera in New York.
Wow.
And one day, an eighth grade boy walked in my room, and we used the Silver Burdette books, and they always featured an opera in every grade level, and the eighth grade book had a picture of our music teacher. And he said, you might think I'm a little crazy, but isn't this Miss Wilson? I said, it sure is. And I pulled out $5 and handed it to him. I said, I've had this in my desk all year, and I said I was going to give it to the first kid that spotted her picture in that book.
That's really neat.
And she was the first time she did a program for the parents, I was standing in the back of the Perry Center. We called it the Social Hall, and it's the building that was torn down now. It was the first church they had at Joan of Arc. And I was standing in the back, and when they started singing, and I'll never forget it because they sang It's a Small World, and the parents just sat upright and were just stunned because they sounded so beautiful. And after, you know, they just absolutely loved her music program, and she worked with the Peace Corps, and she had adopted a boy. And he was going to Joan of Arc. And I thought, you know, that one person has brought so much variety to her music lessons. And it was just, the kids learned to love music. They really did. Yep. And it was wonderful. It really was. And I thought, you know, when you, I've been thinking a lot about the things that you said. And I was thinking, one of the things that I think made me moderately successful as a principal, we never think we're really good. They talk about schools being for children, and this is your school. And I remember as a kid, I thought, yeah, it's our school, okay. Keep your mouth shut and do your work. And I thought, I didn't want kids to have that attitude.
Right.
I really didn't. And they were just, they, when you listen to them, and they tell you school's boring, all kids always tell you that, and I would say to them, well, what can we do to change it and make it more fun? And they the longer this went on, the better their ideas got. Like, have you been to the school?
Yes.
So you saw the murals on the wall?
Yes.
We did that one summer. And they had to try out with the music, with an art teacher to come to that program. And we didn't charge them. We sold popcorn to pay the teacher's salary because they had to have somebody with them and guiding them.
Right.
And I think they just did a masterful job on them. And they liked that summer so much that they came to me at the end of the summer and said, can we do this again next year? And I said, I think we can. I said, I'll see what we can do about it. And I asked them a lot of questions about what would you like to draw? And they said, well, I'd like to draw the stuff from the Old Testament because I always get what came in order. And I get it mixed up. And so I want to be able to remember the first thing in the Bible that we have to remember from Genesis is on the first grade room. And, you know, I thought that was a really good suggestion coming from a child.
Sure.
And we did it, and we had more kids applying for the positions the second year than we did the first. And another thing I believe about children, you've always got to have one person in the building that never corrects them. Because what they'll begin to realize is that person really loves me. And so that I've always had people that I thought were very important. And I had taught Art Berryall's children in eighth grade many years before, and I invited him to come in and do a talk to the children. He worked for the post office, and he was just a lovable guy, and the kids adored him. They always called him Mr. B, and he taught speech. And one of my things that I used to do with the students that the parents often said to me, I'm really glad you do that. I told them that they could, you know, take his class if they wanted to, and he taught speech. And he did an extremely good job. I mean, they would learn poems from Sojourner Truth and some of the great black artists that just wrote wonderful things. And the kids adored that man, and he stayed there the whole time I was there. And I remember going into Brebeuf one time for a speech contest, and, you know, some of the kids just looked at, most of the kids that were in the speech contest were black, and the kids would look at me from Brebeuf like, oh, you don't belong here. And the kids picked up on it, and I said, they just don't know. You just show them how good you are. And we walked away with an awful lot of ribbons. And it did a lot for the students. And I used to tell them, if you don't add and subtract properly, you can always use a computer or a
calculator,
a machine to help you. And I said, if you don't know how to sing, well, you just need to find Miss Wilson. And I said, the really good things are that you have to do by yourself is learn how to speak well. And I said, so you want to concentrate on that. And I said, when you're in the classroom, I want you to use the King's language, no jive talk. You can use jive talk in the cafeteria and on the playground. And when you're doing things after school, but in the classroom, I want you to really do the best you can. And we ended up with a student that was in CATS. And when he was interviewed, the man said to him, you are such a good speaker for someone so young. And he said, I kind of laughed and told him, well, our principal kind of made us do that. And so the guy said, later, he said, I want you to talk more about Joan of Arc. He said, I've never heard a child speak so fondly of their school. And they hired him in New York when his bones wouldn't let him dance to teach choreography to the Broadway shows.
Wow.
And it just really made the kids feel good to know that somebody really had done something great from their school.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, if children don't really get a lot of experience talking to other people, it's important that we bring those people into the school. I don't know if you've heard of the mathematics pentathlon, but Drs. Mary and John Del Regato started that, and they actually did a lot of work with the kids at Joan of Arc in the math pentathlon, and they, when they started their business, we rented them space, and so the kids were around them all the time, and they just really did like them. And the IU Medical School came to see me, or the Dr. Pratt came to see me one day, and he was kidding me because he said, "Is your boss told me not to let you throw me out of here. I'm not a salesman," because I just hated salesmen that came to school during time we should spend with the children. And anyway, Dr. Pratt was working on a study about why black people get hypertension more than white folks do. And he said to me, and I'll never forget it, "I'm going to give to you too, I'm just not going to take for you. So if you are studying genetics and you want me to send somebody out here that can talk to the children about genetics, I'll get them." And, you know, he did so many good things for the kids. And he would explain to them all about high blood pressure and the things that they needed to know about. And they even came one time with a group of interns, and they got the interns to give them sickle cell anemia vaccines. And I'll never forget, one of the parents said to me, "Oh, yes, let them get their shots at school. You can handle their tears." And we only had one kid that cried out of the whole group that got the sickle cell anemia vaccine. And, you know, I always said Joan of Arc had a really good reputation, and people really wanted to help it. I got more money and gifts and things to do with the children that the people, you know, they had pretty good money, and it was pretty exciting the help that they would give us.
So how many years were you principal?
9.
9 years. And what, from what year to what year?
I was there from 79 to 89.
Okay. And so,
and
go ahead. I was just going to ask you, is since then, has there been any other type of involvement, or have you just...
With Joan of Arc?
Yeah.
Well, I hear from the people, and in 1 year, and this really did floor me, the class of 84 had a reunion. And they had it in Zionsville at Stone Creek Restaurant, which is a Cummings restaurant. And they said when the kids walked in, and there were so many black ones, they said, "Oh, my gosh, I hope they behave." And I thought that was kind of a sad thing for them to say. And they stopped me coming out and said, "These are the best reunion people we have ever had." And it was interesting. One boy said to me, when I went to Joan of Arc, he said, "I didn't talk about my school very much, because most kids in my neighborhood hated school." And he said, "I never hated it, but I never thought about it too much." And he said, "I remember when I had children of my own, and I had to go talk to the principal." And the principal, he had moved to Atlanta, he said, she was downright mean. And he said, "I thought about you, and I thought the one thing I loved about you is you were never mean to us, even when we did something wrong." You would say, we all make mistakes in life. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. So who would be some of the people that... like, just if you're going to name a couple names that's really stood out that you've seen have done a lot for the church over the past few years.
Oh, the Yadens and Harold Hayes and, gosh, Mr. Robinson, he was the one that worked at Lily's, and he was absolutely incredible. And, you know, a lot of people think any black kid in Indianapolis comes from inner city, and that really isn't true. We had some really bright kids that went to school there, and there was one boy, John Hill, who was, he was a handful when he was little, but I'll tell you, by the time he graduated from eighth grade, he got the scholarship, the leadership scholarship to Cathedral. When he graduated from Cathedral, he got 13 college scholarships.
Wow.
And they were from good schools, Purdue, IU, Butler. It was exciting to see how many they got. And or how many he got, and you know, he married a doctor, and he built a building for a group of doctors to have their offices, and he was the office manager for it. And I think he was one of the most outstanding kids that went to Joan of Arc. And we had one kid that I'll never forget him. My office was on the main floor, and it was right opposite the mural that had the sheep and St. Catherine appearing to him. And he says, "Hey, Miss Fleming, come out here a minute." So I walked out in the hall, and he was taking his thumb and swirling the wool on the sheep's back. And he said, "Does this look real?" I said, "It sure does." And, you know, I was kind of dumb in those days about art, especially painting it. And I quick called his father because he was an artist, and he had bought the paint for us. And I said, "Can that hurt him?" He said, "Oh, Kathy, for crying out loud, I wouldn't buy paint that my son was going to use that would hurt him." And so I said, "Oh, I know you weren't, but I said, better safe than sorry." And, you know, the parents were very involved in the school. They really were. A girl I had gone to school with, her mother called me, and she said, "When I heard you were going to be the principal at Joan of Arc," she said, "you have my services to help the children that aren't very good readers as long as you take me home at night." He said, "Mary Ellen can take me to work and take me to Joan of Arc in the morning, but we'll have to have a way for her to get home." And she was so kind to the kids. And you won't film this too soon, will you? Till I get over this crazy cough.
No, you're good. You're good. So it's if you were going to describe, because I'm going to close this out, if you were going to describe to somebody about, you know, what would it be like to send their kids to the school or go into the church, just what would be kind of an overview general statement?
I would say it would change their life. And they would, like one woman said to me, she was came in for a conference and was trying to decide whether she should send her child to this wild school, see? And she wrote me the most beautiful note after she left, and she said, I went in there reluctantly because my husband had gone to Joan of Arc, and he wanted our children to go there, and I didn't. And she said, when I walked out, I thought, that is a school that's a modern-day renaissance.
Wow.
And, you know, one of the things somebody said to me one time, you know, you give them too much freedom. And I said, that's how they grow.
That's true. I think
that's really important. And I always hated to hear teachers yell in a school. And if they yelled, I made a beeline to their classroom to see, you know, what the problem was. Well, they got the hint after a while, you better not do that here. And, you know, I just think it's so demeaning to a child to have to listen to yelling. And, you know, after you yell at them and they're doing a math problem, you're thinking, the kid's thinking, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? Why did she do that? I just don't understand this. And they'd be afraid to ask.
Right.
And you know, I think that just shouldn't happen.
Right. Well, Kathy, I really appreciate you covering all the details of being involved as principal. It's pretty amazing. It's great you've been able to see the kids grow as you have over the years, you know, after they've gone through grade school and high school and college and everything. And do you have anything else you'd like to share?
Well, Sister Barbara McClellan, and she was one of the two sisters that started Miracle Place. And we have dinner periodically, and we both always get off the topic and start talking about Joan of Arc. And we both said it was the happiest school we both taught in. And, you know, when they would do their programs, the only place big enough would be to do them in the church. Now they have the auditorium, but they didn't have it then. And, you know, they just loved to go to that church. I never had a person complain about going to the church. And, you know, most grade school kids aren't head over heels in love with going to Mass, especially if you're not a Catholic. But they were awesome about that church, you know. And the things, a couple times I talked to them about it, I'd say, what do you like best about it? I like the pictures in it. You know, I just think it just reminds me of what heaven would be like. And they would come out with the most unusual, you know, things to say about it. That I love that.
That's beautiful. All right. Well, go ahead.
I just want to say Mike Ahern went to Joan of Arc when he was a kid. We are the same age. And he used our school several times in his Mike Ahern's Christmas card. Did you ever see that?
No.
He didn't do it in his last years, but he was so fun with the kids. And I got to tell you one other thing. I don't know if you have children or old children, but Peggy Palace, or Peggy Nicholson Palace, and she was known by Nicholson then because she wasn't married, she used to have a show, Peggy's 59er Diner. And she said, she called me one day, and I'd never met her. And I only watched the show on a free day because the kids, you know, would tell me about it. They loved to talk about her program. And she said, can I come out and see the school? I got 2 hours free today. I said, absolutely. Well, when I took her down to the cafeteria, the junior high was eating lunch. And when they saw her, they were so excited because this television star is coming into our school. The eighth grade girl stood up and started doing the dance that she did coming out on her program, and they started singing Peggy's 59er Diner. She started to cry.
Oh.
And she said, that is the most beautiful thing anybody has ever done for me. And she just couldn't believe it.
That was very sweet.
Yeah, it really was.
Okay. All right. Well, Kathy, I'm going to close this one out, but I really appreciate you sharing everything. I know the parish will as well. And if you could just stay on the line, I'm going to close this one out and thank you very much.
You're very welcome.